afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, August 8th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported. Please donate whatever you can, folks. And of course, monthly contributions are greatly appreciated in these ever worsening times for free speech and the cost of living. That, of course, includes those trying to keep RBN afloat. Keep that in mind. And of course, it's always an uphill battle. The disinformation war, if it can be called that, because of course our opposition, it's always disinformation with the huge funding the corporate media has. So we need to do whatever we can to offset that. And of course, double down, looking twice as good when presenting it. So please, folks, remember free speech can't exist without being funded by we, the people. You can use PayPal right on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. I have with me my regular Monday co-host, an Irishman broadcasting from London, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, my brother.
Hello, Richard. Sorry, I had you on mute there for a second. Yes, great to be with you, Richard, and all our listeners here today. Very warm over here today. It's still 28 degrees, and it's 6 p.m. here, and it's very hot here. We haven't had rain here for a month. You know, I work in gardens, and the gardens are really dry, and particularly if people are just renting properties, they don't irrigate them, so you just have to as someone who actually loves plants, it's a little bit painful watching plants being so dry, but it's the summer. I don't think it's global warming. It's called the summer, Richard, you know.
That could be kind of challenging work, I'm sure, at times. People who own gardens on their property don't understand plants, and well, could expect the gardener to sometimes perform near miracles when the conditions just aren't there. But no, it's rewarding.
Yeah, to
work with the earth. Go ahead.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's kind of one of those basic things, you know, that the plants need water. Who knew? You know, it's like they just, I don't know, I just cannot. You know, I think it's just because I am a natural gardener. When I was a child, I always watered our plants, even in Ireland, which you don't really need to water them there, but I enjoyed it. But, I don't know how people sit and watch their gardens just deteriorate like that, because plants can die like that, and you can see them dying. So, I guess not everyone has that gardener in them. But apart from that, it's good to be out. It's hot. You can probably lose, you know, 6 pounds in this kind of weather when you're working in the heat, you know, and you just like, you know, replenish your fluids. But you can lose quite a lot of weight in one day in this kind of weather, you know.
Yes, yeah, that is true, absolutely. Through your just sweat and excess activity when in the heat, I mean, you kind of burn more energy even just moving.
Yeah, yeah. So you can just feel it. You're just sweating all day and drinking water all day, you know. It's all good. It'll start to get mild here. I always try and tell myself to try and enjoy it, because it does It does get wet and cold for long periods here as well, you know, from about November through till, you know, early March. It's kind of miserable. So, well, it's very much the British and probably the Irish way. We moan about it when it's hot and we moan about it when it's cold.
Indeed. But, no, you certainly have a climate that gives you a lot of clouds and rain, notoriously, well, London especially. And, I love the rain myself, you know, in the summer. Yeah. Where I just moved, the part of Florida I am near the Tampa Bay area.
Nice.
It's really on the actual peninsula, so St. Petersburg area, really. Mm. And it gets a lot of rain in the summer, like 6-point-something inches, you know, average for July and the months surrounding July, basically. And then
Does that come from, like, sort of intense periods of it and thunderstorms and things like that for, like, 6 hours and then it's hot? Or does that – because I didn't think you'd have that sort of rain in Florida in the summer.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're short – a lot of the, like, heavy downpours are very short-lived, but they accumulate and you'll have, like, maybe one per day pretty often this time of year, it seems. Highs don't usually go above about 90, sometimes about 94 on occasion, around 90 usually, though. And at night it gets, this time of year, like maybe 77, maybe 75, cool. Occasionally 73 if there's rain at night. You know, that's as cool as you get in this time of year.
Have you got air con?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah. So it helps, and the rest of the year, I know it'll be brilliant, but there won't be nearly as much rain here. You know, it's only about like 1 point something around April and November, and then maybe January, December, it's maybe about 2 point something inches here, considerably less, you know, other times of year here, but still.
Yeah.
A good
well,
amount.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, though we don't really get them here so much, but, you know, when you go to Southern Europe, if you go to, Southern Spain or Italy or Greece or some of these places, and I'd imagine it's the same in America, you know, you get those kind of like really cool, violent thunderstorms, you know, where it's lightning and it's really kind of like exciting to watch. You know, we occasionally get like really heavy downpours, but most of the time it's just moderate sort of, you know, rain, and it just rains and that's that. But I quite like those exciting thunderstorms, you know, where maybe your life's at risk, you know.
I do and seriously, I do love the rain a lot, and even thunderstorms. It's funny.
Yeah, me too. I love them. Yeah, they're very peaceful, they're really nice to sleep to as well, just to hear the, you know, the rain beating on the roof, you know.
Absolutely. And I just, so people understand and are clear. I mean, it's Monday and they're like, okay, it's 8 minutes in and they're still talking about the weather. But you have to understand that, you know, we are trying to comply with new disinformation regulations, aren't we, Paul?
Yeah, well, exactly.
There's not too much that we can touch on at this point in the independent media. So we're going to go on about the weather from now on. I mean, that's pretty much what we're going to have to do. But
rename the show. It's Weather Hour.
Yeah, Weather with Paul and Richard. That sounds brilliant. What's your weather? But they call in and, okay. We have, though, the UN warning of worrying and dangerous conspiracy theories. You know, this has been all over the place. I found it at Blacklisted News. They got theirs from Zero Hedge, but everyone's reporting on this, and the timing is fantastic. It's at this point, it's so laughable. I mean, they're admitting everything they're doing, and saying we're not doing any of this is what it's just absurd.
Yeah, they can say it.
I even included a clip. Robert Raywald had a little clip, and it was, you know, someone covering this from your side of the pond. It sounded like. So I thought, yeah, why not? It was a really short clip, and it just puts it all in perspective rather than me just reading any of it. But, yeah, the UN, United Nations, would like everyone to be on the lookout for worrying and dangerous conspiracy theories. And it's just, I mean, this is just clown world. I don't know what to say. It speaks for itself.
They tell you what they're going to do and what they plan to do, and then we read their literature, and maybe we go to the websites of the World Economic Forum or whatever, or listen to Klaus Schwab or whatever, and then we talk about it, And they call us conspiracy theorists because we, you see, it becomes a conspiracy theory when you start saying you don't like it.
Yes, precisely, precisely. But there's so much we could tear apart. So I just want, I want to have this aired. And again, because Robert Ravolt covered this last night, but again, it was already covered by another. So we'll do it in its entirety. Julie, if you would, please.
The clip six.
The United Nations has declared war on conspiracy theories, describing the rise of conspiracy thinking as worrying and dangerous, and providing the public with a toolkit to pre-bunk and debunk anybody who dares to suggest that world governments are anything but completely honest, upstanding, and transparent. The UN also warns that George Soros, the Rothschilds, and the State of Israel must not be linked to any alleged conspiracies. The UN has teamed up with Twitter, the European Commission, and the World Jewish Congress to launch the campaign dubbed Think Before Sharing, Stop the Spread of Conspiracy Theories. The UN wants you to know that events are not secretly manipulated behind the scenes by powerful forces with negative intent. And if you encounter anybody who thinks the global elite are conspiring to consolidate power and dictate global events, you must take action. According to the UN, if you're certain that you've encountered a conspiracy theory on the internet, then you must react immediately and post a relevant link to a fact-checking website in the comments. Never mind the fact.
You can stop it there. You guys get the... get the gist of it. So right when Jones was being railroaded with this goofy trial, then the UN is pumping all this conspiracy theory stuff.
So there it is, Paul. I mean, you know, that should clear it up for any conspiracy theorists like us out here. We're going to have to change our tune because, you know, they sorted it for us. Obviously, you know.
Well, yeah. interesting use of language. It's worrying and dangerous. Well, it probably is worrying and dangerous. But worrying and dangerous for who, Richard? It's worrying and dangerous for those guys. And who are these guys? Well, you're not allowed to, you know, you can't be talking about George Soros, and the Rothschilds, and the State of Israel, and the World Jewish Congress are getting involved with this. I mean, if you didn't know any better, you might think that some of these conspiracy theories were about Jewish people and Jewish power. You know, it's a bit, I remember a few years ago, I can't remember exactly when, but there was a guy who was pontificating about the global banking and financial system and how destructive it was, you know. Didn't mention Jews. The Jews all come out and, you know, called him an anti-Semite, you know, if you didn't know before, you know.
This is just unreal. I mean, just the level of this in-your-face Orwellian sort of presentation of reality or like what they... wish we would accept as reality. So I mean,
it's called desperation is what it's called. It's called desperation, and it's called a bunch of sad Jewish morons who, despite all their power, are losing control of the narrative, and they're panicking. And they, you know, you look at, like, say, for example, China and Russia, right? Now, these clowns at the World Economic Forum and this whole Jewish agenda is to deindustrialize the West, turn it into a third world country, demographically, economically, in every way, make us a little bunch of slaves to them, ruin our lives, ruin the economy, ruin the actual countries and our cultures. But then you have Russia and China, which are very, very opposed to this for the most part, and produce a huge amount of commodities. So you've got this complete dichotomy between the West, which wants to get rid of everything that's actually worth anything, and then you've got them being at war with nations like Russia and China, which, you know, really are striving for prosperity and producing things, you know?
Just the fact that you have the Jewish organizations of the world, you know, with the UN defending the Rothschilds and George Soros. I mean, if this doesn't just put it all in perspective, what we've been warning about the United Nations, as well as the World Health Organization and CDC at this point. I mean, that Bill Gates documentary I aired in parts, Corbett report of Bill Gates, that just shows so much of how those are compromised by big money, basically. But I mean, yes, the Jewish power, the United Nations, just
the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, all in bed together in trying to
Amnesty International censor
anything and everything. And if at this point, if you can't wake someone up with all these connections of, I don't know what will, Paul.
Well, the problem for them is that, you know, they pulled that COVID stunt, and they produced a lot of people who are now on our side. People who realized they were lied to, had their livelihoods destroyed, or maybe had adverse reactions to vaccines, realized they were coerced into taking these things. And people started looking at the data, and people started looking at the effects of these things, and they overplayed their hand. And now you've got a whole new bunch of disinformation artists and conspiracy theorists, so they're panicking.
Yes, and we have a, you know, we have healthy amount of pushback, but yeah, it is panic. It's completely a sign of panic.
I think so. Yeah, it's so aggressive. You know, if you're secure in your position, you don't need to resort to those tactics. But yeah, so I mean, you know, whatever, whether it's, you know, if you take it, you know, in a smaller microcosm of being a parent and a family, you know, you're not a particularly good parent, or you don't really have control of your children if you have to be constantly beating them and grounding them and, you know, being heavy-handed with them all the time. And by the way, any, you know, families that do result, it destroys the family, and the children hate the parents, and the whole thing collapses eventually, and there's just nothing but enmity and disharmony. And it's the same thing. You've got these ruling elites with their little agendas or big agendas who are insane, believe they have the right to rule. In the case of Jews, because they do believe that they worship themselves, they are a self-deity. And of course, so they live in a completely different reality from the rest of the people. So you've got these elites, most of them Jewish, and the agenda's Jewish, and these other non-Jewish, you know, elites who are high and just literally in a completely different planet with their hubris. And then you've got the rest of us. Well, there's too many of us. That's their problem. And that's why they have to keep trying to control us. But it's a fool's errand. There's just too many people.
I'm actually on their UNESCO website right now, linked to it through Blacklisted News, is reporting on that article. The article, which was entitled UN Warns of Worrying and Dangerous Conspiracy Theories. So you jump to the UNESCO, the English version of the UNESCO website, en.unesco.org. And let's see, this was not just the homepage. It was for the article and hashtag theme, Think Before Sharing, you know, about.
Yeah, whatever.
Core, just not really for any reason, it seems. Like, I guess maybe you click there for propaganda on how to kill yourself if you see that and I'm looking for COVID information. I'm sure it's a link. And then on the other side, you know, in the upper right, they have a regular bookmark pull down. Hashtag think before sharing, stop the spread of conspiracy theories. They say the COVID-19 pandemic has sparked a worrying rise in disinformation and conspiracy theories.
Well,
conspiracy
there you go.
Theories can be, go ahead.
Well, that just echoes what I'm saying. They're attributing, they recognize that the COVID thing has opened a can of worms. And now you've got a bunch of people who were previously going about their business indifferent and apathetic, who are now not so indifferent and apathetic, because usually people have to suffer enough before they start to care, sadly. But there's more people caring now.
We'll continue covering this after the break. Check out these messages from our sponsors, folks. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
And we're back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey and Paul Edward Stevenson. And that was Hawkwind with You Shouldn't Do That. You shouldn't post conspiracy theories, that is, folks. I was just reading from UNESCO's website. The COVID-19 pandemic has sparked a worrying rise in disinformation and conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories can be dangerous. They often target and discriminate against vulnerable groups. more anti-white propaganda. Oh, wow. Please.
What vulnerable group do you think they might be talking about there, Richard?
Oh, well, you know, first and foremost, of course, the chosen people. And secondly, anyone else who's not white, straight, and male, I guess, you know, that pretty much is how it works. And
they're more than capable of looking after themselves.
Yeah. And vulnerable groups ignore scientific evidence and polarize society with serious consequences. This needs to stop. We have a quote from the Director General of UNESCO. Conspiracy theories cause real harm to people, to their health, and also to their physical safety. They amplify and legitimize misconceptions about the pandemic and reinforce stereotypes which can fuel violence and violent extremist ideologies.
And the stereotypes. What do you think they're talking about there? I mean, this is all Jewish BS. This is just like...
And they've got all these different charts you can click on, and that conspiracy theories. What are they? Why do they flourish? All these charts. That you can
they're so scared.
Share with others.
And, I'm really enjoying this. They're so scared.
The link to anti-Semitism is one of the links you can go to and charts to share with people. That's important, too. Of course, a new campaign helps you to
Learn how to identify, debunk, react to, and report on conspiracy theories to prevent their spread. Check out the infographics and social media pack below to help spread the word. And facts matter, and no one is to blame. Thinking critically and being informed about conspiracy theories is key to challenging them. And then at the end of this top, at the end of this top introduction, before all those links, so you can help fight the good fight. This UNESCO campaign is implemented jointly with the European Commission, Twitter, and the World Jewish Congress. I ask you, Paul, what else do you need to know?
That is hilarious. I love. You really cheered me up, that article. They really are terrifying. It's just the genie's out of the bottle, I'm afraid, and they did it themselves with COVID.
Absolutely, and there are so many ways at once. You're being conned now. I noticed a list of things they're supposedly doing with this so-called Inflation Reduction Act we have over here. Another $433 billion. And energy and climate efforts, green loan guarantees, double the number of IRS agents to conduct audits, environmental justice initiatives, tax credits for wealthy families to buy electric vehicles, conserve coastal habitats, and then get this, to plant trees. Even though their agenda is CO2 fighting, they're going to plant trees. Do they understand the science? Do they not? They're not sure, but they want to take away your freedom, and you don't have the right to drive as one of the serfs, is basically what it comes down to. They already passed it right now in the Senate, unfortunately. Kamala Harris broke a 50-50 tie on this Inflation Reduction Act with the things I just mentioned there. And so, I don't know, that just is going to make it worse, not that things weren't already on a downward spiral, which is kind of hard to reverse from without hitting rock bottom. I noticed that Global Research mentions the digital tyranny, a new article, the EU digital COVID vaccine certificate framework, Paul. Maybe we could get into that after the break as well. But supposedly this October, you're going to have tons of people who aren't going to, they're not going to pay their, is it their energy bills over there, Paul?
Yeah, you sent me that story. I don't really know anything about that, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, if people can't pay it, then the bills are through the roof. Pardon the pun.
Is it something that's just like a token gesture, bread and circus, like the Yellow Vest movement? Though that's not really okay. Let's make the people think they had a small victory, and this is just controlled. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know, but there's a lot of unrest over here.
Well, I would love to see it actually happen and be like everyone, and have it spread to something. It's promising. I'm not going to bash. I mean, they're saying revolution has begun, but at the same time, all this is getting implemented. France is introducing biometric health cards. And then they're saying on the whole level of, Europe with this other article, I don't know if that wouldn't include you anymore, right? With Brexit, the EU digital COVID vaccine certificate framework.
Well, if it's an EU initiative, it won't impact us. Yeah. But we're all run by the same people. Even though we left the EU, I mean, most people voted to leave the EU because of immigration, and then we had more. And we had the highest levels of non-EU immigration since 2003. And today, it's come out that 40% of those crossing the channel illegally, the refugees who are fleeing war-torn countries and etc. It turns out 40% are from Albania.
Albania. Oh, wow. We have that bottom of the hour break. Well, I'll let you just give us some more updates from over there. Hear more of your perspective. Folks, stick around. Paul Edward Stevenson, Richard Carey. Check out these messages from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. The shiver with the mouse to the ground, where the desert shout for the language of fear. Dreams are a mission they vow to liberate.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Paul Edward Stevenson. And, yeah, that article regarding the energy bills, the protests you might have there, Paul, this what they're saying, October, if things don't change with the pricing and that. It's a reflection of a couple things, of course. I mean, the inflation, a lot of the same things you're dealing with in England and European countries, as well as what we're dealing with here, you know, alike, the inflation and this whole scam of the Green New Deal, you know, the CO2 slash nitrogen slash green agenda scam. I like the word scam because it just puts it in perspective. So, I mean, between inflation and that, and they're trying to blame Ukraine for a lot of the fuel issues, but everything possible to take away, monopolize energy sources in Europe and America is taking place from these oligarchs, and they tell you to look at the other direction.
Yeah, and to remove our independence, and to say, as you say, to shift their Green New Deal, so they just make it almost impossible for oil companies and energy companies to produce energy, so the prices go through the roof. Germany are going to have a massive problem. They already are, unless they can, find some energy resources for the winter after, you know, cutting off their supply from Russia. I mean, I don't know if Russia is going to turn on the Nord Stream pipeline again. I don't know, but the one thing I will say is there has been a significant shift, I think, in the whole Ukraine narrative, because Amnesty International has come out and condemned the Ukrainian tactics for endangering civilians, because they are, you know, holding up in schools, kindergartens, hospitals, you know, public places, and then they're attacking Russian positions, and the Russian positions is probably with a heavy heart, but they recognize them as legitimate targets, and they're doing this deliberately so they can have apparent, you know, in quotes, proof of these barbaric Russians. So it's rare that Amnesty International, because they're heavily politicized by Western Jewish Global Homo as well, but they've come out and condemned them. Roger Waters was on a CNN interview recently, and he blamed, to the complete shock of the CNN interviewer, he blamed the U.S. and NATO for forcing Vladimir Putin, essentially saying what we've been saying. The whole Zelensky Vogue interview doesn't go very well with some guy who's, you know, on the, you know, fighting a war and dismissing the concerns of the American people. When it comes to inflation, there's been questions asked on CBS News and concerns raised about where all this money's going to in the Ukraine, that I think only about 70% of the weapons don't reach where they're supposed to reach. So there's questions been asked there about where the money's going, where the weapons end up. So, you know, the tide is turning there. And as usual, as I always say, Richard, what's the difference between, you know, a conspiracy theory and the truth? About 6 months. Because we are always talking about this stuff way back at the start, and it's frustrating, but you usually have to wait 6, 7, 8 months, and then the sort of stuff that we talk about, it starts to come out, trickle out, and, you know, sort of semi-mainstream news streams like here, over here, maybe GB News and Talk Radio, and then it starts to make its way into sort of, you know, clips here and there, the odd exposure on mainstream media. But, yeah, I mentioned just quickly, 40% of these so-called refugees, because what you hear over here from the liberals with the immigrants welcome placards, who live in, you know, white gated communities and never actually, you know, see a foreigner. It turns out, well, they're always telling us, you know, these are people who are, you know, fleeing war-torn countries. Turns out from Albania. Albania is, I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's a European country that's it's just sort of north east of Greece. It's a member of NATO. It's applied for membership of the European Union. There is no war there. You know, it's a peaceful place, but it's a bit of a, you know, dodgy kind of a place. It's kind of known for criminal gangs, particularly in cannabis and cocaine and meth and things like that, dealing that sort of stuff. Now, they have a way that they can actually enter the UK legally. They can apply for a visa. They can stay here for 180 days on a work visa, and they can go and work and, you know, picking fruit and things like that. The fact that these guys are paying a lot more money to people smugglers to come across and then destroy their documents would lead you to believe that they don't want the British authorities knowing who they are, and they're here for much more nefarious purposes. So we're just basically flooding the country with Albanian drug gangs, and they are very violent and very, very unpleasant people.
Well, yeah, so that'll help with the clergy plan, though. So, you know, at the top, it's all just aiding, you know, with these multiple agendas overlapping or converging.
But these people are actually a national security risk, because they are violent criminals. And that's why they throw their documents away, because they don't want people seeing that they're actually from Albania. And then there's no ambiguity that they are entering the country illegally, and they do not have a legitimate claim for asylum from a war-torn country. A lot of them come from Iran as well. And last time I checked, there's no war in Iran. I mean, I know Israel would dearly love to get a war going with Iran, but they haven't actually managed it yet. So I guess what they do is they claim to be Christians fleeing persecution from those evil Iranians. And maybe some of them are. But again, the majority of these people are economic migrants who are coming here because they know that they can, that we're a soft touch, and that we look after foreigners and migrants much more than we look after our own citizens.
And speaking on the topic of Christians, since you bring it up, I came across this one at Zero Hedge. A Christian high school in Manhattan hosts mandatory drag show in place of church service.
Yeah. So
in Manhattan.
As you do, a Christian service.
Yeah, well, the event was sponsored by Spectrum, the school's LGBT support club, and members of the school faculty.
This is why I don't attend churches. I mean, that's an extreme version, but a lot of the churches are churches of name only. I mean, they're full of nonsense. Even some of the better ones. I mean, there's so much nonsense in these churches that it's almost untenable to attend them for any length of time without going crazy. They don't understand what a Christian worldview is, but that's an extreme version. And I mean, for these people to be calling themselves Christians, it's just laughable. I mean, as if I don't know what they think. You know, do they think Jesus Christ thinks they're Christians? Do they actually believe that? I mean, it's just insane.
I just sent that one to you too, if you're interested in sharing to your personal Skype, and also to our current chat with RBN. I often like to share them there as well, because our board op Julie, I don't know, she might want to share some of these articles at times. I like to spread it there too. But yeah, no, I didn't mention the numbers earlier with the Brits not paying electric. 75,000 at least might stop paying in October if things don't change. But anyway, getting back to these.
Some might have no choice, Richard. I mean, if you don't have the money,
right.
A lot of people are really struggling, and 75,000 is a small, very small number. Yeah. There's probably 75,000 people in this country every year who just—it's not even a case of I refuse to pay the bill. It's like I'm incapable of paying that bill. You know?
Absolutely. No. That's why I wanted to mention it. Over in Argentina, Argentina is to stop printing money amid 60% inflation. It's out of Great Game India. If someone wants to read more into it, this is where our future is heading. You know, and these credit scores, social credit scores, so called. You know, let's see. We're talking about Bill Gates as well, related to them. His comments. He's still pushing it as much as anyone. What is ESG? Another article asks. It's a leveraging tool for the woke communist takeover. That was through Zero Hedge, but. Another one, an activist post, Bill Gates calls social credit scores a quote-unquote asset. Are they coming to the U.S., the article asks. But, yeah, they're an asset. Social credit scores, these ESG, as they're starting to, one form of them, environmental, social, and governance, I think, are the categories. But it's so Orwellian with just self-censoring, you know, so you might get a few perks, even though, you know, you're in this green energy society, you know, you'll get once in a while to live like the elite, like once a year with your credit score points. Yeah. If you censor yourself constantly and report on others.
You might get one steak dinner in a year.
Yeah, this is where we're at, though. You have to laugh, Paul. It's the only way. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, I don't know where to laugh or cry at this one, but this is probably the Albanian gangs at work, but there's a new phenomenon now in the country where, you know, farmers are getting up in the morning to do their farming, and they wake up and all their machinery's gone, and some of their cows and cattle have gone as well. And this is going on in the English countryside. So, like, you know, like high-tech, you know, farming equipment is disappearing. I think it's Polish gangs and probably Albanian gangs, and then stuff, I don't know, I mean, they're obviously not selling it in this country, because it's like, you know, if someone shows up with a couple of cows, you're gonna think, where'd you get these, you know? So I think they end up in, like, these trailers, or these, what do you call them, they're shipping them over to Europe and selling them in Europe and stuff. I mean, you couldn't make it up, but, you know, obviously when you allow the sort of numbers of people into this country who just disappear into the countryside, you're going to start to have, you know, emerging the sort of criminal activity, you know. I mean, it's so frustrating. I mean, I was going to go to Paris next month, and or maybe later this month, and I decided not to, because, you know, people think that Paris is the most romantic place in the world. It is a horrible place. Place is crawling with Muslims and North Africans. It's actually dangerous. I mean, there's little parts down in the central, Paris, which are nice. And I'm going to meet a girl that I met. You know, I met her online, and we get on really well, and we were going to meet in Paris. And I decided I didn't want to. I didn't want to drive through there. I didn't want to be hassled. You know, it's expensive, and you know, it's so sad. You know, Paris used to be such a beautiful place and so romantic and beautiful, and now it's just, it's terrible. I mean, London's lost all its charm as well, you know, but I think Paris is even worse, you know.
And most people aren't aware of that. That's great to hear that sort of commentary from you, who knows what he's talking about, you know, being right there.
There's a town in the south of France called Marseille, and it may as well be an African colony. Honestly, there are no white people, no French people there anymore. It is just full. It's just all North Africans, and guess what? The place is a hellhole. You know, massive crime, massive poverty, completely destroyed Marseille. You have to sort of pick where you go in France. So we're going to meet in the country in the wine Burgundy area where they make the wine, because it'll probably be more authentic and more safe, do that. Because it's a shame, because you know, I've been to Paris where I like it, but I've noticed it over the years. I've been there since a kid, and every time I go back there, it just gets worse. And so I don't think I'll ever go there again, you know.
Yeah, and again, I just mentioned that France is to introduce biometric health cards. So, yeah, I'll have to maybe speak with Mr. Felderhoff on that, and that article on the EU vaccine certificate, since he's actually living in France and from Netherlands there. Let's see, I got a couple of quotes here. Like, we have, well, regarding the ESG score, you know, we had Blaine out there saying he's deeply concerned. ESG has become a fundamentalist quasi-market religion. And really, you're not supposed to question a lot of these agendas, the gay agenda, the anti-white agenda, the green agenda. It's not something you're supposed to even question the data from these paid-off sources who gave the data the people who paid them wanted. It's just so simplistic, and yet... We have Nigel Farage, evidently, on a separate article, warning, if America falls to Marxists, Western civilization will follow.
It's too late. It's too late. Yeah. In many ways, it already has fallen to Marxists. And in many ways, you know, we're going to have to go through a kind of almost like a collapse before it can rise again. You know, I mean, the cancer has grown too much anyway. And now we're in this kind of war, you know, but the Marxists already took control of it.
Elliot, yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I really am.
We're reacting to that. You know, that's all we're doing now. We're reacting to that and having to resist it. But you know, the Bolsheviks are in Washington, and they're in the British Parliament, and they're in our academia, and they're also in the banks. You know.
Yes, and one more note before we jump to the phones: ceasefire holds in Gaza after 44 killed in 3-day Israeli bombardment.
Yeah,
and that's only 44 killed is what the first thing I would say. I'm not even sure I would believe that. It's probably lowballing. And of course, we just had this holiday, right? We had this Jewish holiday. And so, right on schedule. We have something that shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well,
all these other distractions in the world, of course, they can't help.
But, they called them preemptive strikes, you know. That's the Israeli way. Get the retaliation in first, you know.
Absolutely. We have Dan in Washington. Hey, you know, maybe we can skip the last break. We just have some time remaining, if possible. Appreciate it, Julie. Hello, Dan. Hey, welcome to the show. Hey, glad to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I got a new headset. Hopefully it sounds a little better. But
I saw
a documentary. Okay, cool. On public TV here, we had a whole series on the Queen. They talk a lot about the the Queen of England and her life story and stuff. But are these people at all pro-white, or because it basically, is she just a big libtard? Because it talked about South Africa, how these South Africans wanted to create their own state when apartheid ended, and she was riding around with Nelson Mandela. You see Prince Harry marrying a black woman, and I think it was one of the princesses of Norway or Sweden. marrying a black guy or this queen seems like she's doing, what influence does she have? Like, if you look at Australia, Canada, all the former colonies, she's just trying to South Africanize them. Would you agree with that? Or is she, like, who's worse with all this stuff? The royal families or the British government itself or what?
Both. You answered your own question. You know, if you think that the Queen's going to stand up for the sort of ethnic and cultural and integrity and religious integrity of the UK, then you'll be waiting a long time. They're all part of the global homo agenda. Even if they felt differently, even if they had stronger racial instincts, they go along with it. And I think that, you know, they don't care about Harry, so they let him marry Meghan Markle. I don't know whether they would go as far as to let William marry someone other than white, but that would be more because I think that they have a certain, you know, racial preservation about them. But they don't care about the British people. They don't care about the ethnicity and the culture of the UK. I mean, it's like you know them by their fruits. I mean, they all talk about diversity and inclusivity and all this mental health. And William and Harry are going around with their mental health projects, which are completely diametrically opposed to Christianity when you get down into the weeds of the whole mental health phenomena. They're always pushing that, which is the fact that they're pushing it should make you circumspect about it. So no, I mean, you're on the right track with your suspicions about them. I mean, you know, they don't stand for anything that we would care about.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty shocking. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, as far as the Rothschild family, I think has a lot of power there, but it was just a depressing documentary. I mean, this queen, she basically spent her whole life, like, I think the war against Germany was kind of a war against the white middle class, and then they learned, hey, we can ship in these blacks or immigrants and use those against our own population, like South Africa. And it seemed like she, even to the point of killing off their own people.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird, but anyway. All right, well, thanks for taking the call. I'm gonna I give her more credit for how much power they had. You know, it's not just the Jewish element, it's definitely these royals. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think the whole anti-white agenda at its core is fueled by Jewish elites, and I think that the royals choice but to go along with that, which is against their own people. So for some people to try to say that, you know, the royal family and the Vatican and are what you should focus on as much or more than Jewish power, I don't think
no, that wouldn't go that far.
That wouldn't help us at the end of the day to change anything. Right. And a lot of people out there seem to do that either because they're actually purposely trying to take heat off Jewish power and Jews.
What happened? Let me give you a brief history of what happened, right? A similar story here that happened in America in some ways. You always had Jewish influence by Jewish financiers in the British Empire, which then went across to their HQ in the U.S., which is why you see the U.S. perpetrating wars everywhere. But for example, in the universities like Oxford back in the early 20th century, a lot of Jews came across, and a lot of the aristocracy were struggling with, actually, you might not believe it, but they were struggling with, being cash rich. They maybe had land and they had houses, but they had a problem with cash, just actually cash flow. So the Jews came along and were able to bribe a lot of them, but they were repelled when they first went into Oxford, and they were maybe persecuted a little bit. But, you know, you're actually white British aristocracy at the elite colleges and things like that, like Cambridge and Oxford particularly, would have looked down their nose at these people, and rightly so, as their history, you know, and their reputation preceded them. But they were able to take advantage of aristocracy who needed fundage. And the Jew was able to provide it, and of course, they got themselves into higher positions in the academia and the media, etc. So, I mean, it's a sad tale, but they basically sold out. The aristocracy sold out to Jews for money.
I know that documentary, "The Head of the Snake," Epstein, the Mossad, that Whitney Webb put out, but it talks about Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. But it, you know, yeah. How they didn't like Diana, but it's like Ghislaine Maxwell's right up there, like hanging out in the royal palace, you know.
Well, that should tell you everything you need to know. Yeah, they're all, and Prince Andrew's all linked up with that. And that whole Maxwell thing, I mean, that was a whole sting operation to. That was a Mossad operation for control over Western politicians, a bit like. And you know, in The Godfather, when you had one of the politicians who basically, you know, he had no respect for these greasy Italians, and he spoke down to them, and etc. But then the politician found himself in a situation where there was a dead girl's body in his bedroom, and there was they had him over a barrel. Well, that's what that whole Maxwell thing was about. And her father's a Jew, I think. I'm pretty sure. Right. Prince Andrew got all tied up in this whole mess as well. So, I mean, it's just depressing. You're right. It's just the whole thing is so depressing.
Yeah, it's made me not like the Queen as much. That's for sure. I mean, her whole life seems to be dedicated to this type of thing. You know, I don't know. It's hopefully the other, when the new guy becomes king, maybe he'll turn things around. I don't know. But,
are you kidding me, Prince Charles? I mean, give me a Prince Charles would be a lot worse, mate. He's already out there with these kind of World Economic Forums and, you know, the World Economic or the Green Energy New Deal and all this type of stuff. No. And Prince William, again, he's all about diversity and inclusivity and stuff. These people don't stand for anything. I mean, they are too compromised, but at this stage, they are not going to do anything for us.
Well, fortunately, it's that time again, the end of the show. And so perhaps Paul won't get arrested for libel today and over there. And
right.
We'll survive one more day in the UK. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, well, thanks. You never know. It's early. It's only 7 o'clock.
True. Thank you for the call, Dan, as always. Yeah, call back during the week. Well, Paul, always a pleasure. And, we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's good fun, Richard. Yeah, it's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Absolutely. And please support RBN, folks. Your donations keep all of this going. Make all this free speech possible. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Always an excellent broadcast. And always check out Paul Edward Stevenson's Last Man Standing. I mean, that's 12 midnight Sunday nights now on RBN. Or you can always check out the archive. Oh, RBN. And his Odyssey channel, Paul Edward Stevenson on Odyssey. Well, folks, we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.